Novelist and playwright Lucy Caldwell returns to her hometown of Belfast as the setting for several of the works in her debut short story collection, Multitudes. Lucy Caldwell joins me now from BBC Studios in her native town, Belfast. Lucy, the collection, in fact, the epigraph to the collection starts with a quote from Van Morrison's Astral Weeks. Why Van Morrison? Why Astral Weeks? And why that as the epigraph for this collection of stories?
The epigraph for this collection are Van Morrison's beautiful lines from the song Astral Weeks itself. Ain't nothing but a stranger in this world. I'm nothing but a stranger in this world. I got a home on high in another land, so far away, so far away. And that sense of yearning, I think, permeates all of the stories in my book, that sense of longing and loneliness and hope. And the album Astral Weeks is one of my favourite albums. It's such a youthful album, and it captures so much of the pain and the longing and the sense of being young. It just felt so, it couldn't have been anything else. As well, all of the stories are set in and around the streets of East Belfast. And I think that Van Morrison, if you're a writer of East Belfast, you can't not acknowledge the way that Van Morrison changed the place. And so he was kind enough to give me to arrange the rights for me to quote those lines.
And in fact, in a few of the stories, you mentioned specific, in one story in particular, you talk about heading into Van Morrison territory, and you mentioned the specific street names, bringing you right back through the streets of Belfast, literally. Were you doing all of that from memory when it came to the writing of the stories, or did you revisit and rewalk those streets when it came to putting this collection together?
I did a lot of it from memory. The stories have come together over a number of years. I think I have drafted the first ones going back 11 years. And so there was a lot of time to check all those facts. A lot of them I didn't need to. The stories, a lot of them are set during my own childhood or my own teenage years. And so there were times when I thought it's stronger to use my memory of that time than it is to revisit it and make mistakes because I'm overlaying the present on it.
And in fact, if they are stories of childhood, there are a lot of them told from the perspective of a young woman. It's tempting to see all of these young women, all of these young narrators as you. How autobiographical are they?
Yes, none of the young women are named. And although it's a collection of discrete stories, I really like the idea of it being a sort of a cubist portrait almost, or a sort of buildings roman where you can loosely trace someone growing up. Details might change from story to story, but I did find that for the first time, I've always been drawn to other people's stories, and I think when you meet people, everyone has such secrets and such loves and such passions and such interesting stories to tell. But for these stories, I did use a lot more of my own experience and people and places that were really close to me. And so, yeah, a lot of those stories have a lot more of me in them than maybe my past work might have.
And I suppose there is that sort of chronological feel to the stories as well. We almost were growing up with this young woman, or these several young women.
Yeah, that's right. And going back to sort of Astral Weeks, I spent a long time with my editor shaping the trajectory of this collection and the sort of emotional arc. So I really wanted to get the sense that the stories, they grow more complex and they grow richer and they grow more tender. There's a sort of a rise towards euphoria and complexity as you read through the collection. Mavis Gallant famously said, brilliant short story writer, she said you should read one short story and close a book and not read another for a few days. And I think sometimes that's exactly the right way to read short stories. But I also wanted my collection to be able to be read straight through, so that the stories are in conversation with each other and the stories affect each other.
We'll stick with the Van Morrison theme for the time being, and we'll go to the story that actually has the title Cypress Avenue on it. Will you read the opening section of that story for us, Lucy?
My pleasure. Cypress Avenue. December has always been hard, but this year will be the hardest December yet. You will find yourself struggling to shoulder the weight of it, will want more keenly than ever to shrug it off, just this once, just for one year. And you'll find yourself saying on the phone to your mum, I might not actually be able to get home. The last word will stick in your throat, and you'll hear her hear it, feel your heart beating. Your mum will clear her throat and say nothing, wait for you to say, the flights are so booked up, and my boss. But the excuses you've rehearsed so persuasively in your head will die away on your lips. You'll picture her standing in the middle of the drafty hallway, wearing her padded body warmer and scarf, because even with essential heating on full blast, she feels a cold too much these days, holding her mobile in its bright pink shellac case, the vacuum or the laundry or whatever it was she was doing when you phoned abandoned at her feet. Mum, you'll say, and she'll say, oh, it's all right, I understand. And so you will end the call by saying, I'll get on the website now, and you'll hang up the phone and curse your mother and curse yourself, and you'll end up in the departures lounge on the 23rd of December, as always, waiting for an interminably delayed, allegedly budget airline to announce a flight is boarding for Belfast.
Lucy Caldwell reading from her story Cypress Avenue, which is in her debut collection, which is called Multitudes. Very interesting as you were reading there, Lucy, the times at which you immediately slipped into a Belfast accent. When you said to my mum, I might not actually get home. When you said, och now, for your mother, or your mother saying, och, it's all right, as opposed to, oh, it's all right, as it appears on the page. How much were you aware of actually a Belfast dialect being in these stories, as much as there is a Belfast location?
Do you know what? I hear the voice that I hear in my head when I write has a far broader Belfast accent than I do. You know, I was born in Belfast, grew up there, but my mum is from England, and my sisters and I were always how now rather than how now, you know? But I do have an ear for the way that people speak and the rhythms and the slang that they use. So that is definitely there in the stories. It's a funny thing when I read the story, I think it's subconscious. People have said that, but the way that I read it is more akin to the way I hear it, I think, than the way that I actually talk.
If a little bit further into that story, there's a point at which you're talking about all the people who are gathered for this flight that's going to Belfast, and the quote goes, the majority are those who have left for good, all travelling back at the last possible minute, most guilty, some maudlin, few happy. Is that the experience you have had of people going home to Belfast for Christmas, that very few of them are happy to be doing so?
I think for the last 11 years, I've divided my time between London and Belfast. And so I've been back and forth a lot. You know, I'm back at least every month, every couple of months. And I've always felt torn between the two places. And I think at Christmas especially, it's such a fraught time, and a time of delays and cancelled trains and cancelled flights and snow. And so people are just relieved that they end up getting home at all. You know, I've been on that flight many times, and I've been on flights like it where a lot of the excitement of getting home is quashed by the fact that you realise that you might not get there at all, and that somehow sort of comes to seem a metaphor for where you are and being of both places but in neither, you know, being torn between two places.
The title story, Multitudes, which in fact is the final story in the book. You might give us the basic outline of what the young couple are experiencing in this particular story. It's set in London. It's important to point that out, I suppose. But what is the basic setup here, and how does it relate to your own personal experience?
Multitudes is the most autobiographical story. It's very, very closely autobiographical. It's very thinly fictionalised. I wrote it when my infant son, who's now a year and a half, was 7-8 weeks old, and I wrote it in bursts on my iPhone at 3 and 4 a.m. and I wrote it with him in a sling standing up at the kitchen counter. And I wrote it because he was very ill shortly after he was born, and we ended up rushing him to hospital several times not knowing if he was going to make it through the night or make it through the next couple of hours. And it was such an intense experience that I came out of that and I felt the urgency like I've never felt before to somehow get it onto the page and to shape it and to make something of it and to somehow contain it and make sense of it. And so I wrote that. I didn't do anything with the story for a while after that, but then Sinead Gleeson, who edited the brilliant Long Gaze Back anthology, she had asked me to contribute something to the anthology, and that was the only thing that I'd written since my son was born. And so I sent it to her and she loved it, and I sent it to my editor at Faber and he loved it as well, and he said, this is the final story. This is the title story of your collection. I've been putting the collection together for a while, and the stories, as we've talked about, they go from childhood through adolescence and young woman. And he said, this story about becoming a mother, it finishes off the collection.
And it does really let us inside the terrible emotions that young couple are going through, which I presume echoed those of yourself and your husband's at the mm-hmm. time. But even earlier in the book, we get very frank descriptions of early sexual experiences and of sexual awakenings. How difficult was it for you, you know, given that you've said that a lot of this material is autobiographical, how difficult was it to actually bear yourself on the page in this fashion?
I think when you're doing it, it's not hard at all, because all you care about is that the story is the best that it can be. And if it's demanding that level of truth of you, then that's just what you have to do. And it makes a complete sense, and there's no other way of doing it. It's afterwards, I think, when you're sending it to people, maybe for the first time, that, or when you're imagining people at this moment reading stories like that that are difficult. But I think Kevin Barry has a brilliant way of putting it, and he says, those moments where you feel yourself ashamed, they're exactly the moments where you should press on and go deeper, because they're the truest and the rawest, and they're where the material is most alive. And I think that's absolutely right. You know, not everything that happens in this collection happened directly to me or to my friends. A lot of it did, but that the thing about fiction is that you have license to make things up, just as you are writing about what might or might not have happened to you.
Lucy Caldwell talking to me about her debut short story collection, Multitudes, which is published by Faber and Faber.